I'm going to start a series. Well, we've been doing the series, and I'm going to talk briefly today on some of the gifts of the Spirit. Before I do that, though, you know, we have to realize one thing. It's all about Jesus. I was having a conversation with somebody yesterday, and they were asking Melody and me, you know, why is it that sometimes in life we see young people whose lives are tragically cut short, and then you see some older people that they just seem to languish? You know, sometimes, you know, you can go online and you read about this 150-year-old lady, and the only thing I've ever done in my life is drink whiskey and smoke cigars. And why is life that way? We live in a broken world. We live in a world separated from Christ. And the thing is, we can't ask why, because his ways are not our ways. So I think we get in trouble a lot of times of, God, why did you do this? I mean, there's a lot of situations in my life where I could ask him that. And I can truthfully say I've never done that. But I have gone to him and said, God, I don't understand, but I don't need to. But I'm going to plant my flag on you. So I'm going to do this series. We're going to talk today. I'm going to talk about, you know, some gifts of the Spirit. There's about 19 of them. Why we focus on two of them, I don't know. But, you know, and Paul writes in Corinthians, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Lord, we're coming before you today. We have to understand that when I enter into a relationship with you, not only do you use my natural abilities and giftings that I have, one might be a carpenter, one might work well with children, but you also give us gifts supernaturally. You give us gifts, Father, that further your kingdom. Help us to understand when you give gifts, it's a means to an end. Let us not get caught up in thinking the gift and the movement is the end. It has to point to you. And the reason that you give various gifts to different people is to build your church so that the name of Jesus Christ will be glorified. Let us not get distracted by seeing what's happening. Let us keep our eyes on the cross and realize we are here to further your kingdom, Lord. So I pray that you'd give us wisdom today and that you'd be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, recently Melody and I celebrated our 44th wedding anniversary. Don't do the math. I would just say I didn't get married when I was 10 years old. But one of the things, I mean, you got to realize, here's Grace. I was 21 years old, just finished my third year of college, and Melody marries me, and I was a yahoo. But what we have learned in 44 years is we center our marriage on Jesus Christ. We look at what the words say. I mean, I was reading, if you read My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers, you know, because somebody was just talking to me about this yesterday. Well, somebody did me wrong, yada, 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 yada. You know what Jesus says? I don't care. That doesn't give you the right to still be mad at somebody. It doesn't give you the right to not forgive people. Even if people are stabbing you in the back, you got to forgive them and move forward. Jesus wants us to focus on our relationship with him. And in my marriage, one of the things that we've learned is, you know, I can't relate to Melody in a way that treat her in a way, well, if I do this, you have to do that. Oh, she's not treating me the way I want, then I'm going to withhold whatever from her, love, support. And God says, wrong. Give and you shall receive. You don't give expecting anything in return. So one of the things that we've learned is, you know, there's two different personalities at work in our marriage, but once we focus on Jesus and allow him to move in our life, you know what? He gives us grace. He gives us humility. And you know what we've learned to do? Lay aside our opinions. I had to laugh about a month ago. I talked about Revelations, and I'm sorry. Everybody wants to know about Revelations. Everybody wants to know when Jesus is coming back. I don't get the emphasis. I don't get the emphasis, church, unless it's moving you to declare the gospel. We don't know when Jesus is coming back. And my thing is, like, then I had to laugh because a good friend of mine, Andrew Eastman, came and he preached on it. I don't mind people preaching on it, but please tell me this is your point of view. I know people that believe we're in the 1,000 years. And some of you are cringing at that. Some people think Israel is Israel. Some people think the church is Israel. We all have our points of view. What you have to do is let go of your point of view. Newsflash, you may be wrong. Why am I saying this? I've been asked why I don't preach more on the gifts of the Spirit. I've had long conversations with Pete Mayer and Mike Bartholomew about this because there's so much division in the church about something that's supposed to build us together. There's people that believe the gift of tongues. You're not saved unless you don't have the Holy Spirit unless you're preaching that. Well, tell me where it says it in the Bible. Oh, it doesn't. Okay, let's move on. There's other people that say, if you speak that, you're from the devil. Where does it say that in the Bible? Okay, let's move on. You're going to die. I'm going to die someday, and I'm going to go to heaven. And God might say to me, what was all this gibberish you were doing when you were praying? I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to find something out. I didn't know it all. We talk about gifts of the Spirit. We always focus on certain ones. God has placed us together. Paul is emphasizing two things in the book of Corinthians, the cross and the resurrection, because he was coming against an arrogant church. You see, God puts us together so we can spread his truth and we can encourage one another. You know, I use this ad nauseum way too much, but that's like when God put George Gray and I together. It's kind of like if you're old, Laurel and Hardy, or more like Abba and Costello. But the thing is, we promoted Christ, and even though sometimes we make each other itch, we can work together for the common good. Because I know I'm right and he's wrong. So then when he accepts that, we can move forward. We need to accept, we need to embrace, and we need to encourage. Let me give some context on Corinthians. There are many gifts God gives to his people. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians. But you got to look at context. Paul was correcting a church. One of the things that he says to them was, women, cover your heads. I don't see any head covering in here. You know why he did that? In that culture, the only people that had their heads uncovered were floozies. Loose women and prostitutes saying, hey, look at me. So we look at that and say, okay, is God doing that today? Some people think so. I co-officiated a wedding up north in the Mennonite church, and it was very interesting. All the women sat over there, all the men sat over there, and they had like a doily on back of their head, and I'm not mocking them, I'm just telling you what they do as a head covering. I don't care. I mean, I'm doing the wedding with a tie, and the pastor's laughing at me because they don't do ties. They do blue shirts. So that was the only time in my life I got rebellious by wearing a tie. Because once they started giving me a hard time, come heck or high water, I wasn't taking it off. But you know what I realized? You're going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. You want to wear something on the back of your head? Praise God, pass your ammunition. I'm good with that. Paul is addressing behavior to a church in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14. Corinth was a very large city. It was very religious. It had a lot of immigrant population who brought their own gods and spiritual beliefs with them. So the Corinthian church had a lot of bad doctrine going on. Paul disagreed with them on what it meant to be spiritual, on what it meant to have the Holy Spirit. Paul preached the crucifixion of Jesus Christ to the church because, as I mentioned, I think last week, they thought they were on a higher plane because of their knowledge. If you achieved this higher knowledge, it really didn't matter what you did with your body because you were raised above the situation. So Paul's coming down and he's really, man, he's preaching something different. And he was judged by the church because he was weak. 1 Corinthians 12 is not a complete list of God's gifts. And there's very different definitions on what it means, and I'm going to share some of that today. God is not a God of confusion, but he's a God of grace. In Corinth, many people displayed their gifts to show they had a seemingly elevated position with God. Does that happen today? Boy, does it. Sorry. Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers all in every one. Diversity with unity. I like it when Mike talked about that a few weeks ago. Father, God, Holy Spirit, and the Son. So I'm going to talk today about being transformed for Christ. You know what? We got this cool thing going on in there. If you go on, you know, we're having this stage being built. And we have different people volunteering. We, you know, like Randy has worked long and hard on doing all the sound stuff and pulling cables. And Layton and his crew, they're working on the stage, building it. George is putting the screen together. And he's coming down. And we're going to attempt to paint the organ pit this week, him and me, so he can pray for us. But why is it cool? You don't want me doing the electrical work. You don't want me doing maybe the carpentry because that's not my gift. But what we did was a bunch of people come together with different gifts for the common good, not so that New Covenant has a funky stage. No. So that we have an environment that might be more conducive to people so that we can preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're not going to go before that stage and bow down and worship it. We're not going to worship the gifts that different people have. We're going to praise God that different people have different gifts so that we can go forward in Jesus Christ. God has a plan for everybody who has ever been born. My little granddaughter, my grandson, me, you. Now, maybe you may not walk in it. You may not accept your relationship with Christ, or maybe you have a relationship with Christ. God has a purpose for you. If you feel called to New Covenant, God has a purpose for you to get involved in this church and to glorify Him. Now, you know what? I would label us a charismatic conservative church. Why? Because I'm a conservative charismatic. But you know what's cool about that? Because I've been... corrected by people that think I'm not charismatic enough. I remember years ago, I'm pastoring in Copenhagen, and our teens went to this conference. And one of the teens came back to me and said, I got to talk to you. I said, what's going on? Because, well, there's worship going on, and some people were jumping up and down. And somebody said to me, when you grow up in the Lord and get mature, you will dance. And they asked me, what do you think about that? I said, that's sin. I had that happen to me at Gospel Outreach when I was a young Christian. That's sin. How dare you tell somebody how to worship God? Some people are more boisterous than us. I think we worship the Lord here. I think they worship the Lord at Reformed Presbyterian, and they sing the Psalms without any instruments. But one of the things I don't like about us is the church sometimes is we view things through our point of view, and that's right. There's a lot of things in my marriage I knew that I was right until I found out I wasn't. And then I got to repent. But the gifts aren't for us. They're to build the church. And you know what? We're not all going to agree, but that's okay. Do you think Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Yes. Do you think you got to be born again to go to heaven? Good. Then let's move forward. You know, I was in a church group. I was elder North Country Ministry Fellowship. We had extreme Pentecostals. We had Mennonites. You know, and we had people all over the map. We got together. Why? You lay aside your differences and you promote the Lord. Paul is talking to a church in Corinthians that needs to understand what it really means to live with the Holy Spirit. You know, verse 8 talks about the utterance of wisdom and the utterance of knowledge, meaning a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge. Now, I'm going to give you a definition I think is right on. The Bible Knowledge Commentary says wisdom is insight into biblical truth, and knowledge is applying biblical truth to our life. So, Pastor, what are you saying? Wisdom is the Bible. Knowledge is learning how to apply it. Now, let's move on. There's another definition. The word of wisdom is God gives us insight how to respond to difficult situations, and a word of knowledge is insight given by God. Now, for example, I had a friend of mine who was going to a wedding out of state, and she went to live with her. She stayed with her cousin who was an atheist. So she's in a kitchen, they're making dinner together, and the cousin just goes off on Christians. Ba 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 ba. You Christians, yada 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 yada. She prayed silently, and God said, "Keep quiet." Kept going. He kept going. He kept going. And finally, she's praying, and God said, "Now." And the only thing she could quietly say is, "You know what? It's all about desire. Maybe you're here today and you don't have a living relationship with Jesus Christ. All you have to do is say, God, if you're real, show me your desire." So see, what I'm saying is yes, I do believe a lot of wisdom and knowledge. It has to be the Bible. It has to be the Bible. But there's times when I don't know what to do, I pray. Say, Lord, you got to show me. And all of a sudden, things happen. Let me get real stupid on you. Can I get spiritually stupid on you? I don't know what happened. I used to keep books here at the church, and I would balance that checkbook to the penny. I remember one night I worked 4 hours on a Friday night because I was 10 cents off, and I had to get it right. Well, now I balance the books at home. I can be hundreds of dollars off. I said, what is it? The spirit of stupidity came on me? God, this is just balancing a checkbook. So there's times I'll be working for hours. I put it aside. Say, Lord, you got to help me. I go back to work, and within 20 minutes, I find out what went wrong. I don't think that's a coincidence. I think that's a person in need crying out to God and God answering. A word of knowledge could be insight given by God. Where do we see that happen in the Bible? The woman at the well, where Jesus talks to her, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that's right, and the guy you're with now, you're not living with. And what happens? She gets saved. So I do agree with the Bible Knowledge Commentary, but also there's times that God gives us insight into situations. He shows us things that we really shouldn't know. But part of the reason Paul places these two gifts at the beginning is because he was cautioning the Corinthian church, don't place too much emphasis on knowledge. That's not all there is in relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to be careful about that, because the Bible tells me knowledge puffs up. You know, Mike said a couple weeks ago, I like what he said, Mike Bartholomew, the first aim of spiritual gifts is the lordship of Jesus Christ. God, I am yours. Use me, use whatever you've given me in a way that glorifies you. And the second thing is, the gift is for other believers. So whatever God has given you to do, natural abilities or whatnot, it's to build up other people. You are here to make sure I grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. You are here to make sure everybody else grows in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I am here for you. I am not here for me. Grace needs to be received as well as given. When I work out at home, I watch this podcast. Not going to say who. And they're Baptist gentlemen, and I love it. You know, they're goofs, and I like that part of it, and they're really good with the scriptures. I don't agree with everything they say, but I'm okay with that because the main thing is to keep the main thing, Jesus Christ. The charismatic church has hurt itself because we see abuses of the so-called spiritual gifts. We see offenses take place, but because people take it the wrong way. They're here. Jesus didn't heal people to put on a show. Jesus didn't go to town and say, the healer is here, bow at my feet. I'm tired of seeing, you know, I could give you a list of 10 to 20 major ministries in the last 25 years that have fallen by the wayside because they get their eyes off of Jesus Christ and they look at the supernatural and the phenomenon. I mean, I had somebody in my church talking about once in Copenhagen, and I probably should have got up and stopped him because it was a good friend of mine, but the next week I had to correct him. Because the person that he was promoting didn't preach the gospel. And a lot of his ministry was his and not the Bible. It has to be about the Bible. You know, verse 9 talks about faith. You know, and I'm not just talking about faith for salvation. I'm talking about an extraordinary situation. For example, and please let me use myself without promoting myself. In 2014, we had a structural engineer look at our sanctuary. I'm in Randy Ziegler's office. He goes, hey, guess what? You can't meet in your church anymore. Praise God for the Christian school. It's going to fall apart. The next snowstorm, yada, yada, yada. And we were worried. I prayed about it, and God said, don't do a thing. We had a bus stop that I had to finally send certified mail to the school so they would quit using our ramp as a bus stop. I just said, we got construction going on. Please don't use it. Was it unnerving? Yeah. I had a pastor call me up and rebuke me. I said, I can only do what God's calling me to do. And what God spoke to us is, you know what, I'm gonna do this cheaper and quicker. In 2 weeks, we got it fixed, 4.5 years later. That's the gift of faith. When it doesn't make sense and God tells you, stand strong and do this. It's kind of like, you know, I mentioned last week, we hired a principal, but we had one say yes. Then she said, no, I'm talking to Dave Priority. He had the gift of faith. I'm talking to him. He goes, it's going to be okay. I'm not worried about it. I'm not going to freak out. God is going to move. And he did. So there is one of the spiritual gifts is faith. One of them is healing, which is a supernatural healing by God. Does God still do that? My testimony. I'm in college, my senior year. I got a tumor in a place where you don't want to have a tumor when you're a 22-year-old college kid who's married. Long story short, I get prayed for over the weekend. A lot of stuff happens. I go to Upstate Medical Center for surgery, and they said, man, you're okay. Whatever happened to the tumor is gone. Please don't think it's a coincidence. I had a daughter who was 6 months old dying of low blood sugar. Pastor came in and prayed for her. 20 minutes later, the doctor came out and said, she's better, but it ain't me. God did it. Ruth Yancey in Copenhagen, New York, goes to the doctor, has a bunch of tumors. We pray for Ruth. The next week she comes back. Here's her testimony. She gets up. Yeah, my tumors are gone. Then she sits down. Wasn't that cool? We didn't put in the Syracuse Times, I mean the Watertown Daily Times, River of Life, Healer, come give us your money. Sorry, I'm being sarcastic, but I'm tired of the church doing stuff like that. So what? I love that. She know God move, he healed me. I'm done, let's move on. It also talks about prophecy. What's prophecy? It's inspired speech that lifts up and encourages. It's also in the it's about the Bible. I believe when Andrew Eastman prays for people this time, I mean, God really, like, he prayed for me. You've been plowing. God's going to do something new. I've told you for years, I'm a foundation builder. That's the plower. So that confirms something. He prays for Rebecca, and he gives her a prophecy. He prays about this one psalm, and lo and behold, that's a psalm, if I remember correctly, you can ask her. She had been praying about that morning and wrote herself a bunch of notes. That's not a coincidence. God does give us insight. Do not follow prophecy blindly. People are giving it to you. Laddie McDonough, if you've been here a while, you know who he is, used to say, if the church doesn't stop looking more to the prophets than they do reading their Bible, God is going to shut the mouths of the prophets. We have to. How does God speak to me prophetically? Mainly through his word. We have to stop looking for soul excitement. We have to let it happen. But prophecy has to be about Jesus. It has to be from the Bible. God gives the power. He gives the gift, but it emphasizes Jesus Christ and it encourages people in him. Anything that God gives us is to honor him. Like Andrew Eastman is a fantastic musician. He was a dog living down in New Orleans before he got saved. Then he gave his life to Christ, and he gave up the musical lifestyle that he used to have, and he uses his abilities to honor God and to point people to him. And don't, you know, I'm not de-emphasizing Andrew Eastman. I believe he has a lot of words that are right on, but I am saying we can't just hear a prophecy and say, yes, I'm going ahead. You have to have God confirm it. Sometimes it already is a confirmation, but why am I saying that? May of 2005, I'm in River Life Fellowship. I'm praying, and God said to me, you're going to be the next pastor of Oswego. That came true. I wasn't the next pastor. January of 2010, I went through a lot of stuff thinking y'all got it wrong. But then I found out I was wrong, and can I tell you something? I laughed because God showed me, I love you, Beaumont. You ain't God. And I got a piece in that. I got a piece that I don't have to take myself so seriously. Come on, what's my motto? You miss a lot of good jokes if you can't laugh at yourself. You know, a lot of what you think the Bible says, please understand, hang on to it, but your opinion could be wrong. I know people I love to death, what they believe about some of the spiritual gifts, and there's some people believe it ended after the book of Acts. Doesn't make sense to me, but if they believe that, I respect it. But God gives us gifts and abilities. And I spent a weekend at Pete Mayer's church in Pennsylvania 15 years ago with Laddie McDonough, and we did a prophetic weekend. So I know that God uses this. But let me also say something. There has to be guidelines. You know, there's my friend Fran Rowe goes to church in Texas, and they had this elderly gentleman taught on the gifts of the Spirit. He's 70-something years old, and he said, I've been doing this prophetic thing since I was 28 years old, and I am right 80% of the time. Well, how do you know that? Because every time I get something from God, I write it down, and I hand it to the leadership. Please, we don't do parking lot prophecy here. What do I mean by that? If you're praying for somebody and God gives you something, talk to me, talk to Randy, talk to Anthony, who are the elders. That's called order. That is what Paul is talking about in Corinthians. Now, don't go to the place where you just want to babysit me. No, it's called accountability. Please understand. Just as when a father dies, God holds them accountable for their family, God's holding me accountable as pastor of this church. I'm not against prophecy. If you ever notice, Anthony, he's been an elder since I was knee-high to a grasshopper. If he has a word of encouragement, he comes over and talks to me about it. So if God gives you something, come talk to the person who is leading the meeting. I love what Mike Bartholomew said, Dave Larkin said. If you have the faith to prophecy, you have the faith to be corrected. See, that's one of the things that we have to realize about prophecy is there's a lot of words out there that aren't going true. We're not going to stone you because we're not Old Testament. But you know what? You say something publicly and you're wrong. Maybe you should be corrected. When I went to the Copenhagen church, they were a little bit looser than I like things to be. So I put this into place, much to the chagrin of some people. Not that they would let me know, of course. So one day I got Mike Bartholomew preaching. The guy sitting right here. I'm just using your chair for an example. And he blurts out this, yada, yada, booga, baga, booga. I love Mike B. He's preaching, brother, that's sure not God. Then he just keeps going. Now, he lovingly corrected the guy afterward. But my church realized, there's a reason why we have order. I don't want to be corrected publicly. I'm not trying to downplay things. I'm just trying to say it's okay. And that's what Paul was doing to the Corinth church. It's okay to have order. You know, we're unified in Christ. We're being transformed together. I got to admit, I've been praying about this teaching for a couple years because I'm cautious about it. I'm comfortable with who we are. I was in a meeting once that really stretched me. And I'm praying. And I clearly heard the Lord say, that's not who I made you to be. So I'm thinking, if God's okay with me, I can be okay with me. This church is a powerful church. And part of the reason I want to talk about gifts is it's time to rise up, people. It's time for you to know that God has his hand on you and he's saying, come on, let's go forward together. I see where this church has to go. And I know I'm not going to be the one taking us there. I mean, I might be the one here, but God, we need to work together. We need God to bring people in with different gift sets. And I'm excited by what the Lord's doing. Paul was addressing the problems that the church in Corinth had in their services. He talks about distinguishing between the spirits. Its ability to tell is something of God or not. Florida, 2008 or so, Todd Bentley's down there and he's preaching and people are loving him and 40 people got raised from the dead. My thought was I didn't see it on CNN because if it happened, I'm sure it'd be on the news somewhere. And he's talking about God takes me to the fourth heaven. It's not in the Bible. He has this Emma, who is his personal angel. I'm thinking, but the Bible tells me don't worship angels. And I see people following this guy, and I'm going, but he's not teaching the Bible. And if you looked at any of his meetings, they didn't emphasize the Bible. They emphasized that. 2 months later, has an affair with his secretary and divorces his wife. I'm tired of the God that I serve being discredited because we wrongly use the gifts of the Spirit. Do I believe in the gifts of the Spirit? I do. I've been healed. I can't deny what happened to me. I was sharing with somebody recently. I was a young Christian. I'm going through stuff I didn't even know if I agreed with. But God did it. So that's where I have to let go of what I think. I could bring up the topic of when do you get the Holy Spirit, but I'm not gonna. Some people think this, some people think that. It's okay, let's just pray. Lord, I think it's John 7, rivers of living water flowing from me. I just say, pray God, whatever you got, give it to me. And I know I'm good. The first criteria to judge anybody has to be your Bible. You know, is something from God? Is it something from Satan? Or is it from us? There's a lot of times I get excited and I remember, let me really embarrass myself. I'm teaching at APW and I'm driving home through, I think it's Mapleview Restaurant or something needs to be there. And I knew God was telling me, you're supposed to be a Christian songwriter and all this. You know? So I talked to my pastor, Pete Mayer. Oh, can you even read music or anything? No, I said, yeah, we're good. So then I knew, okay, then hey, God, that's just my emotion, because I'm listening to Mylon Lefevre, look him up if you need to, on my cassette player. It wasn't, whatever, 8-track. And I just got emotionally charged. It wasn't God speaking to me. It was my emotions. See, that happens to us sometimes. It's something from God, and that's why we run it by the meeting. Sometimes there's things that you get excited, but God's saying, man, this is not for the church. This is for you. But that's okay when that happens. You know, some believe, let me talk about tongues and interpretations. I'm going to talk about it very briefly. Does everybody speak in tongues? No. How do you know that, Pastor? Because the Bible told me so. Do all speak in tongues? Do all do miracles? Do all? No. Paul doesn't say no, but it's a rhetorical question, okay? So what is tongues? It is a prayer language. It does exist today. We believe this at our church. We believe not everybody gets it. We believe it should be private. I don't believe that. Okay, we believe it should be private. I like what somebody told me recently. Maybe you can't control what you're saying. You sure as heck can control the volume. I was in a prayer meeting once. I'm a brand new Christian, Melody and I, and all of a sudden they decide, let's end in tongues. So they all get into this big huddle. They're doing this language, and I'm thinking, I am now not a part of this meeting for 15 minutes. Nah, man. I'm tired of the division that comes with that. Tongues, I do believe God gives us a prayer language we don't understand. If you want it, just in your prayer, say, hey, Lord, I'd like to have this gift. You may not get it. Interpretation. Again, I'm done talking about this topic because this topic is very divisive. The haves and the have-nots. You know, I don't know if you know who Francis Chan is. I don't know if this has changed, but I watched, he did a teaching years ago. And at the end of it, he told the church, I don't have this gift. I don't know why I'm supposed to be telling you this. I'm thinking I do. Because that church thinks you need to have it to have the Holy Spirit. So let's talk about healing. Let's talk about faith. Let's not just talk about this one gift. We do need to respect people with different opinions. Our gifts are meant to mature people in Jesus Christ. It was so hard when God took me out of this church and sent me to another church because they didn't know how to properly do things the Jesus way. That's how we did it. I mean, I didn't grow up a Christian. This was the only church I knew. Then I went someplace else. They couldn't even do the collection the right way. Are you kidding me? I mean, and you know what God told me when I went there? Let me paraphrase it. Shut up. But my way is the way. Maybe not the truth and the life, but I know it's the way. Can we have fun, please? God showed me, Boma, you ain't all that. You don't know what you don't know. And that's what I'm trying to do when I talk about gifts. I want you to be encouraged. Maybe God, during a message, you look at somebody and goes, I'm supposed to encourage them. Then go over and say hi to them. Or maybe like next week, we might talk about the gift of giving. Maybe God puts something on your heart. Boom. You're supposed to give something. Okay, do it. Especially if the name Beaumont's involved. But what I'm trying to say is, we all have different points of view, and that's okay. It's okay who we are. It's okay that some people believe one thing and some people believe another, but if we agree in 99.9%, that's okay. So when I talk on stuff like a lot of this stuff today, I do accept a lot of this is my opinion. And And there are so many topics I wanted to bring up just to make fun and have fun with you guys. I'm not going to do that because I don't want to get hit. But the thing is, the gifts are for today. For New Covenant Community Church to go where we're going, we need different gifts. We need different abilities. Are we going to get uncomfortable? Oh, boy, are we. Because God is doing a new thing. The gifts are meant to mature us in Christ, not to convert people to my point of view or to your point of view. And that's one of the things that God has shown me time and time again. Conclusion, God gives gifts to build his church. It's not, you know, it's kind of like our thing out there, the stage is looking cool. We're not going to go look at the hammers involved and say, wow, isn't that cool? We're looking at the final product. The church is the final product. We're not going to emphasize people. Paul was addressing certain issues in the Corinth church. I accept the Christians have different points of view. Resist putting your style onto others. The Bible always has to be our guide. The crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus has to be the focus. So, Lord, we come before you now. Like I said, I've been praying about this for a couple years. I felt like a couple months ago, the Lord said to me, you know what, be careful. Don't teach what I'm not asking you to. Don't take a deep dive into something I'm not asking you to take a deep dive into. You see, I want to focus on Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you. It breaks my heart when people talk to me and say, why doesn't God love me? Why can't I do this? Why am I struggling? God does love you. And he wants to use you. He's gifted you. I understand that some gifts are more noticeable than others, but that's okay. God knows what he's doing. And it's time for us to walk in confidence that, Lord, you have called me for a purpose. If you believe that God has called you to this church, it's not just to fill one of the chairs. It's because God has empowered you, God has gifted you, and he wants to use you. But there are guidelines. There are safety procedures that God puts into place. Paul's addressing to the Corinth church, man, he's saying, you know what? It can't be a free-for-all. You can't use your gifts in a way where you get prideful and you promote them over the gift giver. You see, Jesus healed people and did miracles to point people to God the Father, to let them have eternal life, which is the sole purpose why we are here. Is to worship Jesus Christ and to share his love with others. I'm reading a book. I like what the author mentioned. You know what? Be a pastor of one. As I've said for the 15 years almost I've been here, is Lord, who is that one person that you're really putting in my life for me to develop relationship with and to tell them about you? So, Lord, let us walk with you today. Let us trust you. And Lord, I pray that we will hang on loosely to our opinions. I know there's so many times you've shown me where I've been prideful, where I thought I knew what I was talking about when I really didn't. Let us be teachable, Lord. Proverbs tells us, if you're not teachable, then you're foolish. Let the name of Jesus Christ be glorified in this wonderful church. Lord, I'm so blessed by how this church really exhibits your love and your care. I pray, Lord, that we would walk in your confidence today. In your name we pray. Amen. Blessings.